All right. Hey, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're so glad you're here. Please stand with us this morning. Let's get this room warmed up a little bit. What do you say?
We wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the you do not face, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the
have a seat.
Morning, Asbury and members and guests. So good to see you this morning. And I've got several things I want to share with you. First of all, I want to share with you that, yes, this projector is out. So if you're having trouble watching this screen from over there, we could do a fruit basket turnover right now. And there's some seats over here. So come on and go over here if you're having difficulty, because we have ordered not one, but two new projectors. They are an upgrade, and please be patient. I think it's going to take about 3 weeks. So I'm so sorry for this inconvenience, but it's going to be even better when we get them. So thank you for your understanding. I also want to share with you that located toward the back of our Wilson Activity Center, you'll find some senior journals. We have some graduating seniors that we're going to honor next week, and there's some journals back there that you could just offer them a word of encouragement and good wishes for their future, and that would be a really nice keepsake for them to have. So I hope that you'll take a few moments just to say a few words for that. I want to share with you from Lou Teeter. I call her our tab lady. She is the one that takes all of the tabs from our soda cans and whatnot and takes them to the Ronald McDonald House. And she was reporting that 130 pounds of those tabs, that's a lot of tabs, equals $52. And this is enough for one family to stay one night at the Ronald McDonald House. So thank you for your effort. Just something as small as bringing your canned tabs is just helping a family in need. And that's a wonderful thing as well. I hope that you'll take a moment to greet one another in just a few moments and to be sure and sign your attendance on our pad so we can greet you. Thank you so much. Let us stand and greet one another in the name of Christ.
So we've been practicing this one pretty hard this week. It's a classic old hymn that we've kind of done with our own style, so we need lots of voices singing with us on this one. So Scott, count us off. Let's see where we end up on this one.
And I hear Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thy all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. For now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's scars and melt the heart of stone.
Sing it out.
Cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat.
Here we go.
Cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Sing this with me.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt, who raised my life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt, who raised my life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt, who raised my life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt. Raise my life up from the dead.
Oh.
Praise the one who paid my debt. Raise my life up from the dead.
Oh.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt. Raise my life up from the dead.
Oh.
Praise the one who paid my debt. Raise my life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt. Raise my life up from the dead. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated for just a moment.
Come on up, kids. How's everybody doing? Doing good? All right. I've got an easy quiz for you. But you gotta shout it out loud so I can hear you, okay? What is this? A soccer ball. That's right. All right. What is Ben holding? Correct. You got 100%. Okay, now I'm going to ask you another question. See, the soccer ball is kind of squishy, isn't it? Kind of squishy? All right, this basketball got a lot of air in it. Which one do you think is going to bounce better? Raise your hand if you think this will bounce better. Raise your hand if you think that'll bounce better. Who thinks they know why? Who can tell me why?
Because it has more air.
Because it has more air?
When things are flat, they're like usually like, they don't really like do things as good as they used to do.
They don't do things as good, yeah. Anybody else? All right, should we try it? All right, I'm going to try to bounce this soccer ball. Okay, I'm going to try to dribble it like a basketball. You ready? Oh, that didn't work. All right, Ben, you try to bounce that basketball. Hey, you guys are right. Good job. We know God made us that way. God made us that way. And when things go bad, when things are disappointing and you're sad, you know, we can either be like this soccer ball. And when we go when we feel down, we can just stay down like that. Or we can be like this basketball and we can bounce back up. And you can think of the air in the ball as kind of like the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit in you and bad things happen, it's disappointing, but you can bounce back like that. So do you want to be like this, or do you want to be like this? Which one? The basketball? Me too. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the right stuff to bounce back. And we promise that the next time we are feeling down, that we will remember your gift to us and to use it to get ourselves back up to where we should be. Thank you, God, for filling us with the right stuff. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we go to God in prayer, let's be sure and lift up two people that are not listed in your bulletin that need to be prayed for. Hila Rumner and the loss of her son, Joel. And all I can tell you about services is that there will be a memorial service on April the 30th, and I'm meeting with the funeral home this week, and we'll be able to get details out to you, but just it'll be Saturday, April 30th. And also just found out Barbara Clark, that usually attends the 8:30 service, her husband passed away this morning, Fred Clark. So please keep those families as well as the others in your prayers. Let us go to God and pray. Most loving Father, as we come to you, we are so thankful that you hear our prayers. And you know what's on our hearts and our minds even before we form a prayer. But God, we lift up to you those who are hurting, those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, those who are coping with perhaps a new diagnosis, looking at a surgery ahead for them, looking at treatments or tests, recuperation from accidents. Father, there's so many needs. There's so many people we need to pray for. And we're so thankful that you know each and every one and each and every need. We're thankful for this day that you declared to be set aside to worship you. We pray that more and more would draw near to your house of worship and set aside a time to focus on you, especially in this day and time where focus seems to be so hard to grasp. We are so distracted, so consumed by gadgets, projects, all kinds of things, that surely we are neglectful not only of other areas in our lives, but certainly the area of our spirituality. Forgive us, we pray. As we come to get today, we do confess our sins. We know we have said words this past week that were not pleasing to you and perhaps were not helpful to others. We know that we have done things or neglected to do things that might have made a difference. So, oh God, forgive us of our sins. Help us to be more mindful of them, that we would sin less and try to be more of whom you have called us to be. A saint, yes, a saint in the making. God, as we come before you and we pray, we ask your blessings upon each and every one here today and those that were not able to be here. We ask that you guide them in their lives, bring them closer to you, and that worship of you is not just something that happens in the church, but at home, around the breakfast table, around the dinner table, beside the bed at night. That times of prayer and love happen continually rather than weekly. And God, we do pray for those across the world who are putting their lives in danger, that we might come today and to worship and to live out our lives in peace. We do pray for peace in the world. It seems that it's just a phrase we say, but you know, oh God, what it would take for it to be a reality. And much of that reality comes about when we are messengers of peace and how we live out our lives, the decisions we make, and the actions we offer. So God, we thank you that we could come here to pray to you and know that you hear our prayer. And we pray this prayer humbly as Jesus also taught us how to pray the greatest prayer ever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we come forward, our ushers, as we prepare to give our offering, we thank you for keeping steady and consistent in your giving as we're heading towards late spring and summer. You may be out, but the church will still be operating, so please continue to be so faithful. Let us pray. Most gracious God, it is such a privilege to give to you, to watch and wonder as you are our creator and you work miracles. With our small offerings, you take them and you do grand things, bringing people to know Jesus Christ. What greater thing can there be? So God, we ask that you bless these gifts for the use of your kingdom and the making of disciples for Jesus Christ our Lord. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
My life led me down the road so uncertain. Now I'm left alone and I am broken, trying to find my way, trying to find the things gone. This time give me a revelation, show me what to do.
Amen.
Let the people of God say, amen. Thank you so much. This morning, we're continuing our series on the 23rd Psalm. So I'm going to invite you as I read the full psalm, even though I'm just showing verse 4. I'm going to invite you to say it. I'm reading from the RSV version, but feel free to say the King James if that's what you know. But I invite you to join along with this beloved reading and hearing of God's word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, a couple of weeks ago, we began this series on the 23rd Psalm, and we looked at this familiar psalm as one that is so familiar, sometimes we don't really dig into its specific meanings because it has very intentional thoughts in this psalm. And the first thought we had was as we explored Christ as our good shepherd, that sometimes we forget to enjoy the journey because we've gotten so consumed in our own worries without realizing we've got the greatest shepherd already out there guiding us and providing for us and leading us to our answered prayers and to our provisions. But today, we look at the point of the psalm, this fourth verse, this verse that is full of valleys and shadows, spaces of darkness and fear. It describes vividly those places in our minds and our hearts that we just don't want to venture. We just don't want to go there because it's a bit frightening. It's a bit scary. We find on this journey that this spot can be uncomfortable, and we don't like it. And it holds some of our greatest fears, but interestingly enough, it also holds hope for spiritual growth in that in those valleys, we also find our greatest tests and challenges. Sometimes in the darkness, we feel like we can't see in front of us. We don't know what's coming. And so it's then that we look for the source, the one who is the all of light, the all of hope, the all of comfort. And we feel more assured because there he is with his staff, gently nudging us, letting us know the perimeters or the boundaries of the steps in which we need to take. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. You know, we're taught that all the time. We're taught that God's presence is always there with us. We're taught that God never abandons us at all. And yet sometimes when we're in the midst of the valley, when we're in the midst of darkness, and every single one of us in this room has been there in some form or another, if we're honest, we sometimes wonder, okay, God, where are you? This hurts. This doesn't feel good. This is scary. I don't know how this is going to come out. I need you now. Hello, God, are you there? And we're taught that he is. Little girl was taking a train trip cross country to see her grandparents. It's her first train trip ever. And it was a little scary for her. As she looked out the windows and she could feel how fast the train was going and she could look out and see the narrow tracks and look out and see the valleys and the gorges passing through the mountains. a little scary. But her family was with her. Nighttime came, and she was in the top bunk of the sleep car. And from time to time, she just needed some reassurance. And so she asked her mom and her dad from time to time, "Are you there? Are you still there?" "Yes, dear, we're right here. We're right here. We're right here with you." Well, this went on for a while. It was getting late. She hadn't fallen asleep. Well, there was a fellow across the aisle in a sleep car who desperately wanted to go to sleep. In a thunderous voice, he said, "Little girl, your mother is here. Your father is here. We are all here. Now, will you please be quiet and go to sleep?" After a while, you could hear the voice, the meek little voice of the little girl say, "Mommy, was that God?" We do wonder, God, are you out there? Are you with me? But we know God is with us. God never abandons us. But like this little girl in the story, we may not always realize the voice is God's. We sometimes justify the voice. We sometimes manipulate, maneuver the voice to the point where we don't even realize it, but we're kind of pressing our family and friends to say what we want to hear. Sometimes we believe the voice is of God's, and it's not of God's. It's of our own agenda. You see, our personal sin sometimes disguises the very voice of God. So as we look at this psalm, we find great comfort in this fourth verse, because we've all read this psalm 100 times. We've all heard it 100 times. But I don't know if you, like me, haven't really noticed that there is a key word in this fourth verse. And that word is through. "Yea, though I walk through the valley, shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You see, the word "through" is a very important word because it indicates there's something on the other side. You're not going through to oblivion. You're not going through to a wall. You're going through to something greater and better on the other side. And through our salvation as believers in Jesus Christ, that reality is heaven. Amen. And God gave us this wonderful journey of faith, this wonderful journey of life with two things that we can count on. Of course, this time of year you may add a third one, taxes. But we can count on birth and death. Now, we don't remember a whole lot about our birth, but there are pictures probably. And that's how we remember it. And, of course, the last couple of decades, you've got your trusty little video cameras that are right there in the delivery room recording every conceivable inch of a laboring mother's body. But you've got that. Our death. We'll know that. We'll feel that. Our death, the death of loved ones. We don't need pictures. Because the departure and the absence of someone we love and we care about is so indelibly imprinted upon our minds and our hearts, no camera lens could ever capture. In the hundreds of funerals that I have preached, I have to tell you that at some point, I'd say 90% of the funeral plans will want the 23rd Psalm either printed in the bulletin, read at the graveside, or read at the funeral. And I think that speaks volumes. Not only has it been taught to us since children, it's been a part of our lives since we were children, but that there's great comfort and guidance, and it speaks to God's people. Perhaps the imagery of this verse, even though it's somewhat daunting, it's very, very healing. Because God is with us in death. God comforts us in death. But death is not the end of our relationship. No, thanks be to God. Death is just a new dimension in our relationship with Him. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. You don't wait to die to practice and feel and experience the kingdom of heaven. It is now. You are saints in the making. Some are more saintly than others, but okay, we're all saints in the making. John Wesley, Methodist founder, we're growing in perfection. We are called to be perfect in Christ. Each day, that should be our focus. May what we say and what we do be a little more perfect than it was yesterday. Now, why do you suppose that David, shepherd made king, put this particular line in the psalm? Well, if you research a little bit about the Holy Land, you will find that there is actually a passage from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea that is called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And it is called that because it's so very narrow, so very rugged, very treacherous territory. And at any point in time, a sheep could lose its footing. The next phrase within the verse offers this wonderful glimmer of hope. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. As Christians, you and I do not only want the Lord with us, we want Him to live within us. We had a life, we met Christ, we invite Him into our hearts, and suddenly we are to be living a new life, different than before we accepted Christ as our Savior. If you don't see a difference, something's wrong. Every day is that day to embrace the Good Shepherd and to live the new life. I love what Apostle Paul said in his church to Philippi. I consider everything a loss compared to the glory of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be in Him, having a righteousness that comes from God by faith. There have been several popular books to talk about the near-death experiences. One of them is Heaven is Real. Been several different ones. You may have encountered someone that had a near-death experience. They always speak of that place where there's light and warmth and a feeling of peace and joy. And invariably, every single witness always states, I didn't want to go back. I didn't want to return to earth, to my world before, but I had to. And they realize that they've got a mission, and that mission is to witness to you and to me that we are called to live according to our purpose. And that purpose is one with our Maker. Now, I haven't seen the light. But I've heard the still small voice over and over again. Almost always pointing me back to the Word. Hear this word from 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Well, that leaves no room to hide. If we do not love, how can we say we know God? Because God created us to be loving. God created us to share love. God created us that all would know Christ. We need to think about that every morning when we're going to have a difficult conversation with someone at work or someone in the family. We need to think about that every morning when we drive. You know, the voice of guilt always comes to the surface. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Rods and staffs are sticks. How can they be sources of comfort, sources of strength? Well, they are. They're also sources of assurance. As the sheep are wandering along the hillsides, occasionally a sheep may go astray. With that rugged terrain, occasionally a sheep may lose that footing and fall down to the ledge below. Now, if you've ever seen a real shepherd's crook, it's not like a walking cane. It's not that small. It's larger. And it's made that way so the shepherd can be the one that is saving the lost by wrapping that crook around the belly and lifting the sheep up to safety again. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. A good shepherd is never without its staff. I think it's so appropriate that in the church, the people who are helping the flock, the congregation, who are helping channel and nurture into ministries of the church, the life of the church, the life of Christ, the life of the kingdom, are called the staff. And something else about the rod. I love so much how different images in the Old Testament, New Testament, they connect. And we think about Jesus calling himself the Good Shepherd, the rod and the staff in the New Testament. But remember when we first had an acquaintance in the Bible with the rod? It was Moses parting the waters, delivering, saving. And here is the rod and the staff saving the sheep. Seems each year we experience death. This weekend, too, already. This is part of the rhythm of life. We know that. Others of you have experienced the loss of loved ones very recently, and I'm aware of that, and my heart grieves with you. Death witnesses a variety of emotions and experiences. It's interesting, the last words that a person will say as they are dying. They know they're dying. It's also interesting to see if those words are words of instruction
Now, don't let so-and-so do such-and-such after I'm gone. Or words of gratitude. Or words of sharing faith. But it's also interesting what we do as we are trying to minister to the dying, to encourage them and commend them. Do we show our appreciation for the impact they made upon our lives? Do we take that moment to share our faith, how they've strengthened us in our spiritual journey? If you think about the 23rd Psalm, what are your valleys? What are those places with their crannies and crooks in them that only you know about, where only you hide? Have you felt the shadow of failure or disappointment overcome you lately? Well, if you have, I want to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with you right now. Shadows are simply silhouettes of who you are. More importantly, shadows are distortions of who you are. They are not who you are. And God embraces you in the shadow, but does not embrace the shadow. Because God knows there's more to you. God believes in you more than you do yourself, and is bringing you out of the shadows, out of the valleys, onto the mountain again. God says, "Lo, I'm with you always." Valleys, shadows, mountaintops, wherever you are. And when you find yourself slipping on the ledge of life, grab hold to my staff that offers strength. Grab hold to my staff that it may guide your steps. Set your boundaries, for some of us need those set. God's so good. God is so good. Amen. And God would not for one millisecond abandon you or any of his creations. And God has given us sources of strength. And I know that when we are down in the abyss, when we are in a gorge that we cannot seem to find our way out of it, we are less likely to reach for that which actually helps us. I don't know why that is, but we need to stop doing that. We need to start reaching for the sources of strength that God has made available for us. God has given you his word, and it is faithful and true, and you've got it with you always. Yes, there's something called the Bible app. Use it. Download it. I prefer to hold it and thumb through it, but I'm thankful that when I don't have it, I've got the app. And God has given us a source of prayer. Prayer is real. Prayer is answered. Maybe not sometimes the way we had hoped, but it is answered by the one who is far wiser than you and me. And God has given us the source of all of you. We are family. We love each other. We pray for each other. We care about each other. We know each other, and we still like each other. And God has given us hope of salvation. These will take you to the mountain again. It may feel like just a little slope at first, but God will give you the ascension to the mountain. Amen. Now, this morning, whether you are in the valley or on top of the mountain, know that God is with you. And if you're in the valley or on the mountain, one thing is still true. God is nudging you with his crook, with his staff. Can you feel him? Can you sense it? Are you open to it? Oh, where is he leading you today? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite the celebration singers and band to come forward now as we all go to the Lord in prayer. Most loving, gracious Heavenly Father, you've given us your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the good and great shepherd, to lead us to all that we need, to waters which quench our thirst, to green pastures that enrich our lives, to safe spaces, reaching out to us when times are rocky and our footing is not quite so sure. So, Lord God, we thank you for giving us Jesus. And we pray that if there are any here today that need to feel your love in a fresh and new way, that they would come forward and pray and renew their lives to Jesus Christ. God, you are so good and we are so grateful. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. As the celebration band and singers lead us in our closing song, if there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, to come forward and profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or renew that profession, or to come forward and to pray, we invite you to do so. Let's stand and sing.
Sing this with me. Above all names.
So wonderful to be in worship with you today. Sometime at the closing song, you need to just close your eyes and listen to the sounds of the body of Christ singing praise to God. It is such a blessing. And you've been a blessing today, and the worship of the Lord has been a blessing. Now go forward and bless this world with the peace of Christ, our Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.